Hi everyone, and welcome back to the HRBC Encounter podcast. This is the podcast where Jacob tells us what is the correct way of eating a corn or yogurt. Jacob, over to you.
The correct way of eating a Miller corn or yogurt. Wow. Well, first and foremost, hey guys, thanks for having me on. wow, Miller corn. I love Miller corn or yogurts.
So I've heard.
I don't like the fruit ones. I know that might be a bit controversial. But I love the chocolatey ones. They're great. My favourite is the milk chocolate digestive one. Ooh, that's a great one. I mean, I'm a classic, you know, tip the pot in, you know, kind of guy. Get the biscuits in the yoghurt. Do you know what I mean? That is my strategy. That's just classic straight down the line for me. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I really like the banana flakes yoghurts personally.
Oh, okay.
But I don't like breaking the plastic bit. So I like to spoon it in with a spoon rather than like snapping it. It's a bit too aggressive for me. Okay.
Sometimes you lose a few over the sides. You've got to be careful about that.
Yeah, exactly. Don't want to go in too strong.
There you go.
All right. Thank you. Roll the intro music. Hey, my name is Josh Leal. I'm the host of this podcast. I'm 19 years old and currently I'm teaching guitar online, and I volunteer part-time at Hon Road Baptist Church in Brighton. And today, as you may have heard, I'm joined by our other great host, Sophie Draycott, who was a guest last week, actually. Sophie, could you just introduce yourself?
As Josh said, I am Sophie. I'm a second year psychology student at the University of Winchester, back home now. Holland Road is my home church growing up here. Really excited to be joining you this week.
Amazing. And Jacob, could you introduce yourself for us, please?
Yeah, sure. Hey, guys. My name's Jacob. I am a student intern at St. Peter's Church in Central Brighton. So I'm currently doing that. But obviously, coronavirus stuff has meant I'm at home, so yeah, that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Thank you, that's great, that's really helpful. So Jacob, you were recently in Hong Kong on mission through your internship. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about that, so that's what we're going to be talking about this episode. Yeah. But before we really dig into this, could you just kind of let us know how long you were there for, what the goal of the trip was? And yeah, just roughly what was going on?
Yeah, basically we went for 2 weeks, and somebody told us before we went, it's not really a mission trip as such. It's more of a pilgrimage.
Okay.
Now I'll explain the idea behind that. Basically, the place we went was called Syngman, and it was in a place called Sha Tin in Hong Kong. And the reason it was there, it's basically, I think the government of Hong Kong would say that it's a sort of a medical center. But the reason behind it is that drug addicts or alcoholics or anybody that's got broken backgrounds or broken lives come into this place and they receive prayer, and usually prayer through tongues as well. So it's quite an amazing place. And that's kind of the reason why it's a bit of a pilgrimage, is because God's really moving there quite powerfully. So basically the reason we got to go for 2 weeks was because somebody at St. Peter's is quite well connected with a woman called Jackie Pullinger. Now, I don't know if you've heard of Jackie Pullinger, but she's incredible. I mean, she's crazy. She went to Hong Kong in the 60s, basically went to a place called the Walled City, which is unreal. They've knocked it down, so it doesn't exist anymore. But basically, it was a huge slum, but it was just skyscraper upon skyscraper upon skyscraper. They had no water supply. They had no electricity. There was sewage on the floor. It was like something out of medieval times.
Yeah.
But she went there, and she was there for 30, 40 years until it got knocked down. And she basically just gave her life to loving the people in this place, and just doing as much as she could for them while she was there. So she's crazy. Look her up, honestly, if you've got a bit of spare time. So that's a bit
amazing.
Context.
Amazing. Thank you so much. So yeah, really cool. We're going to be talking a little bit more about prayer, as you were just mentioning there. So prayer through tongues and all of that. But yeah, it's a really amazing, I read a book once about the walled city, and it is really just fascinating. Yeah. And I just quickly looked it up here. There's, it used to, when it existed, there were 50,000 people living there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like we went, so there's a park now where it was, and it's just, it's tiny. Jackie, in her book, in Chasing the Dragon, actually talks about when you're walking through the alleyways of the walled city, you sometimes have to go through sideways because it's so narrow and so cramped that you can't even go through single file. You have to turn to the side. And because they were so tall as well, the sun, midday, the sun couldn't get through. So when you're walking through, it felt like it was nighttime. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Honestly, it's a really incredible, quite a weird place, but yeah. That's nice. The walled city, yeah.
Can I just ask you, what was one thing that when you went to Hong Kong, you missed about England? And then when you came back from Hong Kong, something you missed about Hong Kong?
Yeah, good question. So one thing I noticed when I got out there was the difference in culture. There is quite a big difference in culture, but there are similarities as well. It's still quite a westernized place, but it's, you know, the language, Cantonese is a beautiful language, very, very different. The landscape is very different. The food, obviously, very different. I think that was one thing I missed a little bit, is that in the British, when we eat, our palate is quite different. Like some nights you'll have a curry, some nights you'll have a jacket potato or something. It's varied. Our diet is quite varied. But in Hong Kong, they literally just eat noodles and rice. That's it. They don't have pudding. They don't really have a sweet tooth. In the mornings, we would have noodles with beef, maybe.
Like for breakfast?
Yeah, that's for breakfast, yeah. So we'd noodles in like a soup, a broth with beef or chicken, and you'd eat it with chopsticks, yeah. So that was quite, some mornings you wake up and you're just like, oh, this is not what I want. One Saturday morning, the place that we were staying at, Breakthrough, the kind staff made us this breakfast every morning. But on the Saturday, they had their day off, so they just put out some cornflakes for us. And we were so excited because we had something normal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's definitely one thing I missed a little bit from England, is the food. Mm. But one thing I missed from Hong Kong, I would say the landscape, it's beautiful. Just, you're surrounded by just hundreds, if not thousands, of skyscrapers. But then also you turn around and there's just jungles as well, just jungle landscapes roll from hill to hill to hill. And, there were days where it was really misty. And sometimes you couldn't see the top of these skyscrapers because it was so foggy, so misty. But when you're out there, you're just struck by the beauty of the landscape as you just go from place to place. Yeah, that's definitely one thing.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Yeah.
So what did you actually get up to when you were there? So you mentioned prayer a bit.
Yeah, so basically when we got out there, we had a meal with the staff at Syngman, and they basically said, you're going to be pretty busy. You're going to have to sleep on the flight home because you're not going to get a lot of sleep here. We're going to really use you whilst you're out here. And we were I think this is quite a proud achievement for us, is that they basically used us for their prayer duties, their prayer shifts. Now, what I mean by that is Syngman is basically, it's like a compound. There's a gate, there's a guard post. When you go in, you have to have a mask. You use hand sanitizer. They check your temperature. You sign in. You go to the block. Now, there's about five blocks. And each block has different people in. So, you know, block one and two might be teenage boys. Block three was the men. And block five, four or five were families and women. And each one of those blocks had had new members. So new boys or new girls who would come in because they've come from broken families or broken lives. So like I said earlier, they come from drug dens or really strong alcoholic, you know, tendencies. So it's a really quite a profound place because you're surrounded by these people that have quite broken lives and things, but you really wouldn't know. They're so cheering, so lovely. But yeah, so we got used for these prayer duties. So what we would do mainly was there were 10 interns overall, or 10 of us on the team, that is. And we would take it in turns each day to do a day shift and a night shift. And what that meant was we would be praying for one of these new boys or new girls that had come into the compound and just them for maybe 3, maybe 4, maybe 4.5 hours straight.
Oh, wow.
And we'd have to be praying in tongues as well, because the power of praying in tongues was really recognized over there.
Mm.
Now, that's very intimidating if you're coming to Hong Kong without the gift of praying in tongues.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot of people in this country as well that would argue that only certain people can have or experience that gift.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, I think I agreed with that when I left Hong Kong. But then when I got there, I quickly realized they didn't agree with that. they basically just said, if you want the gift enough, then just ask for it. God will give it to you. And you will be able to start using this gift to help these guys off of drugs and alcohol. And it's kind of incredible. So, yeah, there were a couple of interns, actually, that hadn't spoken in tongues before. But we certainly got a lot of practice when we were over there. But, yeah, just one experience, one little snapshot for me. The night shift was a really strange thing. We wouldn't do anything like this over here. But basically, you would start your shift at 10 and then you would go till 2:30. Or you would start your shift at 2:30 mm-hmm. and go till 7 in the morning. So it really messed with your sleeping pattern. But anyway.
Oh, wait, yeah. Wait. So that's 10 at night. Sorry, I was confused. I thought you meant like 10 in the morning to 12:30.
No, 10 p.m. till 2:30 in the morning. Or
amazing.
That would be one shift. And then 2:30 till 7 in the morning, that would be another shift.
Mm.
That's crazy.
And so the idea was, around these shifts, that they could put people into each one and build up just days and days of these new boys and new girls experiencing prayer 24/7. What they wanted was for these new boys and new girls to have somebody praying with them for at least 10 days, constantly, 24/7. So if they went to the toilet, you would be there. If they were in the bar, you would be there. If they're in bed asleep, you would be there. You would be there constantly and within arm's reach as well. You always had to be right next to them. So very, very unnatural in a way, and very bizarre when you go into it.
Yeah.
But also quite beautiful when you do it. I think so. The night duties for me, I think it's summed up this one night. I think I was on a 10 till 2:30. I was praying for a guy. I think he was called Arkin. He was coming off of heroin, and you could quite clearly see that he was experiencing a lot of pain. He was experiencing a lot of discomfort. He was very uncomfortable and he couldn't get to sleep.
Mm.
And it's really difficult when you're sat next to his bed, watching him sort of toss and turn. And he was kicking the wall. He was headbutting the wall. He was really, he was not in a good place. And he was really struggling. And I remember just praying, Lord, just give him comfort. Just stop this, whatever it is. Just take it away from him. I don't want to see this in him anymore. And so I was praying in tongues, and eventually he decided to go and have a bath. So he got in the bath, and I was sat in the bathroom with him, just praying over him. And I just felt, just maybe for about 4 seconds, I just felt God come into the room and say, to me, I've got this covered, it's fine.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then gone. Yeah. Well, not gone, but like I just felt him say that, and then peace again in the room. And after that, I was like, right, okay. Well, then that's fine then. I trust that he's got it covered. I trust you, Lord, that he's going to be fine. And he got out of the bath, he got into bed, and he slept the rest of the night like a log. And it was brilliant. It was so amazing because I so clearly in that moment, you know, I was a bit tired. You know, you do get a little bit bored as well because it's 4.5 hours. It's quite a while. But, you know, I was there. I was just praying, just take this away. God comes in that moment and says that, and that was it. And I just felt amazing. It was really evident that God came into that moment and just gave him peace in his sleep. So, yeah, I would just echo that that idea that they hold in Hong Kong of actually praying in tongues is really, really profound. It's really, really powerful.
Mm.
And you don't really know what you're saying, and you don't really know if you're saying anything at all. But the beauty of it is that you're just trusting in God. It's a small step of faith. And in that, God can work incredible miracles, like bringing guys off of heroin, you know?
Mm.
So that's prayer duties, really. That was what we were doing whilst we were out there.
That's really, really amazing. I think we've probably got time for one more question. Sophie, would you want to ask one last thing, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything that you think from Hong Kong we could learn about prayer in our culture and something particularly for young people today that we can learn from Hong Kong?
Yeah, great. I'll try and keep it short because I think there's actually so many things we could have taken from Hong Kong. So one thing they told us before we went out there actually was that, you know, we had to be on our guard because when we were to come back, we would inevitably be quite frustrated with the church back here or become cynical. That's what they warned us about, because you come back and you think, oh man, there's so many things that I've seen, so many things that I've experienced, and I just want to put that into practice right now in the church here. And sometimes that's not the best idea. It doesn't quite work or it doesn't fit. But for me, I was looking when I was in Hong Kong for things that could work back here. And there was another thing that we did in Hong Kong and the congregation out there basically called it outreach, and they did it daily. And obviously due to the coronavirus, there's a lot of need for outreach. There's a lot of need for food packages and for masks because everybody wears masks out there.
Mm.
So we got to go on these little outreach groups of maybe about 4 or 5 of us. You'd get together, bring a trolley of food or a bag full of masks, and just really look for those people that need it and feel led in the spirit whilst you're on the streets, going slowly, just looking around for street cleaners or homeless people or any kind of, person that might need this stuff.
Mm.
And the idea, obviously, was that you just give them this stuff. You just say, hey, what do you need? We'd love to give it to you. And just be loving, ultimately. There was no real, preachiness or trying to be pushy about Jesus or the Bible. There was literally just, what do you need? We've got it. Here you go. And in that, you can open up a little crack in them, soften them up a little bit, and let Jesus do that work of getting through, you know? So for me, it was so great to go out on the street and be able to do that. It was beautiful.
Mm.
And I think I was looking at that and I thought, that is definitely something we could do more of in Brighton. Yeah, so my main point is that I think the best thing I think we could take away, or at least I could take away from Hong Kong, was this very, very simple idea of going out into the streets and finding people who need stuff and giving it to them. And of course, we don't have any masks over here, but people are always needing food and drink and stuff, especially in this weird time. I think people that don't have homes or vulnerable people are the ones that need it the most, people without jobs. I think there's now is a perfect time for us to do more outreach. So yeah, that's definitely one thing I could encourage.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I would love to encourage everyone listening to like practice praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. And if, you know, you don't have that gift, pray for that gift. I think that would be really cool. We can learn from what Jacob's been saying. And yeah, just to get involved in those outreach opportunities, that sounds really cool, really encouraging. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today's podcast. This has been the HRBC Encounter podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Jacob, for coming along and chatting with us.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jacob. Just a heads up, so next week we have Lydia and Jack with us, who are paramedics. And we're going to do a short question and answer segment with them. So if you have things to ask, mainly about their work in this current situation, about what's going on, you can send them in on the Instagram page. You can find us on Instagram at encounter_HR. So don't forget to send in your questions. Tune in next week, next Wednesday for the next podcast. And Jacob, is there any way that we could pray for you or be praying for the people back in Hong Kong?
Yeah. So for the guys back in Hong Kong, I think the best thing that we could be praying for them would be just for the new boys and the new girls that come in to just really mix well with the guys at Syngman and just settle really well. I think that's one thing that is always on the minds of the guys over there, is that they just want ultimately to just get to know Jesus for themselves.
Yeah,
so definitely be praying for that. For me, pray that I don't forget what I've seen.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Lord, I just want to bring this time to you. Thank you for the time that we've managed to spend, just talking with Jacob. Thank you for all the work that he was involved with there, the way that you moved powerfully there. Thank you for Syngman. And I just want to pray for those boys and girls who are arriving even now. I just pray that you help them settle in, help them kind of get used to the place. But more importantly, Lord, that they'll come to know you. Thank you for all the ones that have already come to know you there. And I just pray that you will keep working powerfully and moving powerfully there. I also just want to pray for Jacob. Thank you that I had such an amazing time. I just pray that everything that's changed in him from that trip, that it will be fresh in his memory, Lord, and that it will be something that really changes his heart. Thank you for his heart of service and being willing to serve there and go and even just taking this year off to serve in the church. Thank you so much that he's been willing to chat with us, and thank you for this time that we've been able to spend together now. Amen.
Amun. That's what they would say in Cantonese.
How would they say it?
Amun. Amun is how they would say it. Amun.
Cool. Amazing.
Thank you so much. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.